Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Yonder Podcast. This is a companion podcast to the Yonder Festival that was held in November 2019. Each week we're going to be bringing you interviews with the people who attended, the people who performed, and the people who brought us the Yonder Festival. And now, let's talk to Lincoln Savage, the man behind the Yonder Festival, and Nina Everson, the brains behind the Kunstclub, one of the late night attractions. So keep listening and let's get ready to go back to Yonder. We're back with the Yonder Podcast, and this week we have the brains behind Yonder. We have Lincoln Savage here. How are you, Lincoln?
I'm doing well, mate. How are you?
Look, I'm doing fine. I'm escaping the heat, which is ideal, but I'm very excited to talk to you and kind of get this podcast started about Yonder Festival.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and thanks so much for putting the time into recording these.
Yeah, no problem. It has been a pleasure, and I assume that it's going to continue being a pleasure. So let's talk Yonder Festival. What is it?
Okay, so Yonder is a multi-arts, multi-day camping music and arts festival with kind of an equal focus on all art forms, so music, visual art, performance.
Yeah, absolutely. So there were a lot of musicians and bands playing, but there were also heaps of visual artists there, and with their and set up on their triangular their mural spaces, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's right. There's a partnership with the Brisbane Street Art Festival, so we're able to engage with them for infrastructure and programming to have a pretty strong visual art program.
Yeah, great. So why are you so invested and interested in creating this festival space for people?
I mean, I've been doing projects like this for maybe like 8 to 10 years now, and Yonder is kind of a culmination of that as an outdoor format.
Yeah, awesome. So, and when it comes to why the multidisciplinary is there some sort of like a formula that you're trying to achieve, or is it just to give everyone a voice?
Yeah, the core of it is bringing together artists and audiences.
Mm. Awesome. So, and so the festival is held just outside of Imbal, and on a creek, which is great. Everyone loved the creek, which was great to escape the heat. When it came to like setting up the festival space, what did you have to take in consideration? Because there's obviously a great variety of acts and artists that are going to be there. When it came to like organizing the space and seeing that everyone was catered for, how did that kind of play out?
I mean, there's two, I guess, very different parts to that. One is the infrastructure and logistics of putting something like that together, which is quite a big undertaking. And then the other side is the curatorial approach.
Yeah. So are you heavily involved in either one or the other, or is it kind of everything in for you? Like, are you the person?
Yeah, so I'm sort of responsible for overseeing both of those elements of the festival, yeah.
Yeah, cool, awesome. So when you started forming the ideas for Yonder, and how does it go about, how do you curate something like Yonder? Because obviously it's such a broad spectrum, and there were so many different and varied artists there. Like, it was amazing just to chat to all these different people. How do you approach curating something that is well, at least seems to be so broad.
Mm. I mean, the core focus of the festival is supporting and providing opportunities for emerging artists. It's quite small, budgets are quite small, so you know we are unable to program more established, larger names.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of it's a space where emerging artists, they are keen to reach new audiences and play on an outdoor festival stage. Some of these artists may not have had the chance to play on an outdoor festival stage because there is few festivals and few slots to play at those. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll just flag that we're having this conversation just after Yonder's all kind of wrapped up and we're decompressing and we're kind of moving on into the next few weeks. So how is that process for you? Is there a big decompression or is the work kind of flow on through the next couple of weeks for you?
There's a bit of admin to do.
Yeah.
And then a bit of a break until we've recovered to think about next year. But it's a huge amount of work. It's quite intense. Like there's nothing in my life I've ever done that is as hard
and
as
challenging as it.
But same thing. I think on the flip side, the reward there is quite great. But our team have to stay on the days afterwards, packing everything down, dismantling all the structures, and managing all that side of things, which the audience doesn't see, but it does. It does take a lot of work for us and quite a bit of downtime afterwards to recover from.
Yeah, because there's a couple of weeks beforehand that you're kind of up at the site, establishing everything and putting everything in its place, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have an amazing team. There's a really great team around the festival that everyone shares the same values, and we all work together. And in some ways, the build week going out there before the festival is as rewarding as the festival itself.
Yeah,
because of the relationships that get built and the bonds that get built between the people that
it's awesome.
So
you kind of team build before the festival, and you have your own little your own little building festival.
Totally, and it's such a beautiful part of the world.
Absolutely, that the hills, especially where you have that big Yonder sign up, is just so picturesque. Early morning and late afternoon.
Sunset and sunrise are magical.
So how did you, the actual land and the space where it is, how did that come to be picked for the festival? Is that something that you've, you had to scout out, or is it, because I know you've done similar spaces before.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm constantly looking at opportunities and we met the owners of the property a year or so prior, and they were really open to it. It's a privately owned farm.
Yeah.
And the family that own it are some of the loveliest people I've ever met. And they just, jumped in, said yes, and we did it, and they loved it.
Excellent.
And now we've built quite a strong relationship with them.
That's great, yeah.
Personally as well as professionally.
Excellent. And so they are... Were they around on the weekend, or were they just kind of enjoy watching from afar?
No, they're very much a part of it.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
Brian, one of the landowners, he really enjoys the Kunstclub.
Nice.
And he was there later than I was one night.
Well, that is, and so the Kunstclub, for those of you who don't know it or weren't at the festival, is an after hours, or the only kind of after hours venue at the festival. So it runs from 11 to 3, is that correct?
11 to 5.
11 to 5, yeah. And it's kind of an immersive themed nightclub.
Yeah, yeah. The idea came about providing a place for people who wanted to party later into the evening.
Yeah.
So the shipping container is soundproofed, which means that it doesn't disturb the campers so much. That was the original concept. And then Nina Everson has then, contributed to building quite a great concept around what that project is.
Yeah, great. And it's a really interesting idea and a real point of difference, I think, for just kind of regular festival entertainment, is to have that themed after hours thing. It's not just a DJ in a soundproof.
Yeah, it's very theatrical and it plays on Ted's piss take on Berghain and these kinds of things. So it's a bit of fun.
Awesome. So this is just after the event. Like, have you had a good response? Like, have artists reached out or anything?
Yeah, incredible response from the audience and the artists as well. We put a lot of effort in and built on all our previous experience doing other festivals in the past to try and do the best we possibly could. And so far the feedback is extremely positive. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know that you must get this question all the time. What was the highlight of the festival for you personally? Was there an act or was there an experience? Or because I know that I saw you buzzing about on the whole time, so I know you saw a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a pretty, you know, I'm very grateful for the position I'm in that I get to program and engage with so many amazing artists.
Yeah, absolutely.
So trying to pick something when I've, you know, been for the last 12 months programming this thing, it's hard to pick one thing that stands a standout because I'm, you know, I really, really enjoyed so much of it. But for me, really, it is bringing people together.
Yeah.
And that is the baseline. The arts is kind of, it facilitates that in a way and supports that. But just seeing so many people being so comfortable in them in themselves and engaging with people and the art in such an open, supportive way is definitely my highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like just walking around talking to people, there was never a time that people were not receptive to having a chat, just talking about who they are, what they're going to do, what's happening. It was really open and really kind of receptive to interaction and communication. I'm going to say one of the highlights for me was actually the Welcome to Country that was performed on the Friday, just before the Ancient Bloods set. So obviously there is a bit of a conscious effort to include First Nations and Indigenous Australians in there. Can you talk us through like how that played out and how that interaction?
We're very privileged, you know, with what we have here.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this country. And I think there's a lot that we can do. And my personal direction on this is trying to form the festival and how we operate by putting Indigenous people first where possible.
Yeah.
And also trying to program Indigenous arts being Indigenous led.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a First Nations producer, Alethea Beetson, who basically takes over that program.
Yep.
And we take advice from her on the best way to do this. And, you know, she's connected us with Auntie Bev.
Yeah.
And Alethea's actually also Cubby Cubby, so the lands on which the festival is held.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
So
yeah.
We're really grateful that we have, you know, be able to engage with a local person.
Yeah, that's really great. And I, like, that's the thing, like, going in, I think I did flag with you before I went to the festival, this would be my first festival, and it was really, really inclusive and really interesting. Especially, like, I found my new favorite artist at the festival, Delene Briscoe. She played on the Thursday evening, and it was so I have bought all of her albums and followed her on Spotify.
I mean, she came on board last minute because of
Pullet,
but pretty incredible to have someone, you know, a superstar like Delene Briscoe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the work that she's done for First Nations artists is quite incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the inclusivity is something that the festival is really trying to build around. And the whole team, as well as myself, is learning constantly about how to improve these things for people. And that's for First Nations artists. It's for LGBTQI. It's for gender diversity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything we can kind of do and learn from and reaction we try to, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So I guess what is in the future for Yonder? Like, is there different things you're looking towards involving? Are there people that you want to kind of reach out or people to reach out to you for 2020 and beyond?
Yeah, we'll spend the next few weeks into January kind of just assessing and going through feedback.
Yeah.
Across the board from the audience and the artists and the team and the volunteers to try and figure out, you know, what worked and what didn't and then start building the 2020 program. But, you know,
I just see the ghost of all that work just cross your eyes there.
Well, I don't know. It's not work for me.
Yeah.
It's something far more than that.
Excellent. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, like, for the opportunity and for the work that you do put into it. It was definitely a great experience for me personally, and the people that I have spoken to so far definitely seem to agree. Where can people, obviously you have your website, so people can reach out there. Is there anywhere else that you would like people who want to learn more about what Yonder is?
Yeah, the best place is the website, and you can sign up to the email. subscription list there and social media as well.
Of course, yeah. And of course, this podcast will be coming out fortnightly, talking to artists and performers who were at the festival and doing their thing, talking to them about their festival experience and what they do outside. So check in, and we'll probably get you back at some point. Just have another check in and see how everything's going.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Zane. Right.
Thank you. Hello. With me here is Nina, the brain and power behind the Kunstclub that will be at Yonder this year. So we're recording this a couple of weeks before Yonder Festival. So Nina is in the midst of really setting it up. So you've got 2 weekends left to go and then a few days straight at Yonder.
Yeah, all the prep is coming. It's about to hit.
So I think the first thing we should kind of lay down for the people who are listening is, what exactly is the Kunstclub?
So the Kunstclub is an interactive nightlife venue. It's basically like the nightlife district of Yonder, in a way, if you want to put it that way. So the only venue open after 1 a.m. and it's open right till 5 a.m. Right. So after all the stages shut, it's the last place pumping and it goes off.
So but you draw all the night owls in.
Oh, yeah. All the nocturnal beings that are like smushed on the floor, we scoop them up and take them. Yeah, and like the reason I say it's interactive is because the whole Kunstclub is themed. So every year it has a different theme, and that theme is visible in like the curation, the design, like the set design of the whole club, as well as the characters we have throughout the club. So when you go in, you're greeted by people in character who are in character to the theme, right, and you can interact with them throughout the entire night, all night.
So I want to just kind of clarify, is the theme a secret?
No, it's not. Okay. It's just been announced. So this year the theme is a cult, the Kunstclub cult.
All right, I like it.
Yeah, and I can give it all away because people are going to be listening to this,
yes, this
after
will be well
it's
after
already
after
happened.
It's done,
but basically when you go in, instead of like a normal club door, it's going to be a confessional. So you go into a confessional, nice, and you get greeted by priests and you have to confess your sins to get in, and only sinners get into the Kunstclub. So you got to be naughty. And then kind of the beer garden area is like a outdoor church, in a way, like with a preacher's stand and stuff.
Right, yep. So with a pulpit.
Yeah. There's going to be some divorces happening there because marriages are happening in the day elsewhere at the Sanctuary of Seduction. So at night you can get divorced in the Kunstclub. and then we've got one room that's like a big banquet feast table with cult leaders all around the side. And then there's also a dance floor and an indoor smokers area and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And so all of those characters interactive, and in these spaces, it's there are dance floors.
Yeah, so
interspersed.
So basically, the main feature of the Kunstclub is the dance floor is a huge 12-foot shipping container.
Right. Nice.
And so that's the dance floor. The banquet room, that's also a smaller shipping container, and the rest is all built off with ply. And so the characters kind of like walk around all through.
So how big is this place? Is it
like the size of 4 12-foot shipping containers, maybe a little bit bigger than that, you know?
Okay,
like if I'm just thinking comparatively of like comparing the dance floor. But yeah, it's quite big. It's like 4 distinct spaces. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've done this performative thing before with different themes?
Yeah. So last year the theme was a casino.
Okay. Yeah.
And we had a big twister room that was like a game room. The year before that it was a hotel. We've also had it as like the afterlife, and
okay, because
it
awesome.
Was like the last thing open in the festival, so it's like after you've ascended. Yeah, so there's been some different themes, yeah.
Okay, and so like you said, like this is you get all the creatures of the night into the Kunstclub. How do you will you and your characters kind of sleep during the day and then
that's a good question.
Because that's a rough schedule at the festival.
Yeah, well, so all the actors and dancers, they only do one night each. So, okay, like, I'll schedule them on, like, hey, you're on Saturday night, because it is open from 11 till 5 a.m. So that's a really, like, intense shift to do the whole festival. It means they basically miss the festival. Me and my management team, we do the full thing. So for me, it would look like, setting up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, setting up, maybe see a little bit of the festival in the afternoon, then try and get some rest, and then I'm there until, like, 5:30 in the morning. Then I sleep until maybe 3 p.m. the next day.
The life get of up
an
and artist.
Have yeah, get up and have breakfast when everyone else is starting to gear up. Maybe see one act and then go back and kind of get ready to switch on again. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So I guess my question is, like, how did you kind of come up with this concept of, like, a themed interactive nightclub?
I'm massively inspired by other festivals, such as Glastonbury and Dark Mofo. So I had been going to Glastonbury for a really long time in my life. Like, the first time I went, I was like 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Damn. And the nightlife districts there are the same, but on a much higher scale and bigger in production, where it's kind of like they theme a whole district, and within that, all the stage production of each stage is themed as well. And I remember being in an area called Block 9, which is like made up like it's the meatpacking district of New York. So, and then within that, there was like a gay club, and then within that, there was a peep show room. And I just loved the subversiveness of, like, you're in a festival. No, you're in the meatpacking district of New York. No, you're in a gay club. No, you're in a peep show. Like, I love that, like,
That layering. Secrets within secrets within secrets.
And Dark Mofo is the first festival I've seen do that in Australia since I saw that in Glastonbury, which I really liked. But that's where I kind of, like, got my inspiration from, because with the Kunstclub, I wanted to be like, yeah, I'm in the festival. Wait, no, I'm in a shipping container. Wait, no, the shipping container's a club. Wait, no, the club. Now I'm in a cult. What the fuck? Like,
awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess has the layout or the setup evolved much, or is it just really the theme and the talent that changes?
It's evolved in that it's gotten better, because the first year it was literally just a shipping container in a smoker's area built off the side with ply.
Then
eventually the smoker's area and ply and build, and as, like, we got more materials and accumulated more materials every year, we could make the spaces bigger and bigger, and essentially add a second room. And then last year we were donated a second shipping container, so we could make a new room out of that, which was the Twister room, or this year it's the banquet room. So, yeah, it's evolved quite organically, really, in that way. And the team has also evolved organically. Like, the first year it was, like, literally just me and, like, three other girls who were, like, dancing around.
Yeah, yeah.
And that almost killed me to run in a club by myself. And then another guy came on after that, and then we had, like, a management team of two, which is still insane and intense. And if anyone's run a club, they'll know that that's just, like, we are absolutely insane to do that. But after that second year, I feel like people saw what we were going for, and they, like, understood the concept, and they were like, oh, I actually get this. I get what they're going for and get around it. So since then, so many people have reached out, and, like, last year really it felt like the full fruition, where it was just, like, a massive collaboration of so many people who got around what we were doing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
To see the support from the people who are enjoying it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's hard to translate it off the bat. Like, hey, I want to make a club out of a shipping container that's a hotel. And trust me, it's going to look good. It's going to look good. Everyone's like,
Everything looks fine at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
When the music's going and you've got the lights, it looks perfect. So I guess, do you do things like this outside of the festival? Do you?
No.
So you're not a nightclub manager or an event manager?
No, I'm a big party girl, but I hadn't run events before this. This was like...
Way to throw yourself in
the deep end. I definitely did dive in deep really quickly.
Okay, yeah, awesome. So I guess how do you kind of find inspiration for the Kunstclub? So obviously there's the theme and there's, I guess... the things that go along with that. How do you just kind of find inspiration and then run with it, or is there a bit more of a deliberation?
I think it's definitely inspiration hits through, like, collaboration at the moment, like bouncing off people. Like, once I've settled on a theme, for example, the cult this year, I'll run that off some people, like my venue manager, my sister who's like my like costume assistant.
The most important.
The most important. Yeah. Like people in my close circle, and just bounce off ideas like, oh, wouldn't it be sick if we had a confessional? Oh, we should put in coffins and rah, rah, rah. And like you G each other up. And then from those ideas you have there, you look at like what's actually feasible and what would actually work in that setting. Especially in a club setting, because like you said, it's like at night people are
absolutely
at their most wasted, so you got to think of like what needs the least supervision and control to yeah, work yeah. Which is like, for example, when we were looking at a game room last year, we were like, what kind of game room? And then Twister was the best because yeah. You literally don't need to do anything.
Chess is probably not a great choice.
Like anything with pieces, it's like throw that out the door. Just put a spinner, they get it, it's literal. Like put it, make it as easy for people to understand as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. And so you, and then you kind of manufacture the props and the costumes.
Yeah.
And yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's really, really interesting. And so how do you find this fits into a festival setting? Is the 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. time slot, is that kind of integral to what the project is?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because it, there's two advantages of it being in a festival and also of the time. It being a festival means that the kind of people you have coming through are a really broad spectrum of people with different genres of taste, and it may not necessarily be like party goers and clubbers.
Of course, yeah.
And so one of my favorite things is it's throwing a lot of people who may not necessarily like the Valley at all, and I don't blame them, I hate the Valley, into a kind of quasi-club setting and realizing that they like love it.
Yeah.
And also it allows people to kind of release a bit more, I guess. Yeah.
I guess, yeah, because it is kind of a fantastic setting. It's late yeah. at night. There's not a lot of, I guess,
the whole idea is like yeah. less chin stroking, more dancing. Yeah, and that's with yeah. the interactivity. It's not just like going into a club that's like sponsored by Smirnoff at Splendor or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not that, it's not got that stale kind of, oh, the stages are closed, we'll go to this kind of thing. People kind of build up to the Kunst Club because you know it's going to be a full sensory overload. And that's really what I wanted to make it for, is like me being into electronic music myself. I'm also extremely hyperactive and I have a really low attention span,
okay, yeah.
which is like really typical of our generation. And so I want to kind of be force fed it, so I don't have that kind of anxiety in the back of my mind of, oh, is there something better I could be doing right now? Is there a better conversation I could be having?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, should I be having another drink to fit in the empty space that's kind of been created in my night in this festival? And the Kunstclub's there to go, there is no space, this is exactly where you need to be, this is what the fun is.
Yeah, the whole festival is just a funnel leading yeah, to the
yeah, exactly. And like for some people it's too intense, and like fair as, like some people are more chillers and some people are more guns to the wall blazing, so it's not everyone's cup of tea. But what I do like about it is that for the people who may be more on the fence, I feel like it's a much more accessible environment than others.
I think especially having that themed and interactive aspect, it opens up the experience to someone who isn't into just a rave electronic music and dancing in confined spaces. It opens it up to more of an experience.
Yeah. It also makes it stupid. Like,
yeah.
What that does is, because I say, like, you know it's going to be a cult and you're going to confess, but they might not even make you confess. They could be like, oi, do an interpretive dance to get in. And then, like, drunk person's having to, I don't know, do a little interpretive dance about how they feel at that moment. So it's a massive piss take on itself, and it's super sarcastic, the whole thing. And I think that really makes people let their guard down. The first year I did it, I didn't understand that element, the importance of sarcasm and cheekiness so much.
Right.
And as I've pushed it more in that like camp direction, people have really responded. I feel like it's just take the piss out of yourself before others can.
So do you find that you have the same people coming back night after night, or is it kind of filtering through the whole festival?
Well, we've last year particularly, the line was like over 100 people, so it couldn't really filter through because once people were in there, they were like, I am staying here.
I'm here for the full hours.
And like the line would be like 50 when we just opened because people knew it was going to get long, so they wanted to get in. This year at Yonder, I think the line will be a little less intense.
Right.
Because the festival's a bit smaller this year. But people definitely are like in night after night. Last year, there was even a couple who were like, we got engaged the year before and we're here on our honeymoon and we love the Kunstclub. And it's like their honeymoon was munting in the Kunstclub. So that's
okay.
Pretty funny.
Okay. Well, that is amazing.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. So not only do you have people coming back night after night, but year after year.
Yeah
that's really interesting. Is there much like feedback on the different themes, or do people just kind of there to enjoy?
Yeah, what kind there? Of there to enjoy. I mean, because like
that's good,
the themes. Yeah. I mean, they look a bit different and maybe like the puns and the vernacular might be a bit different, but it's got the same attitude.
Yeah,
like
okay.
Between the hotel and the casino, I don't know. Like this year will actually be a little bit more different because it is a bit deeper and darker and creepier with the cult, but we're still going to have so much fun with it. It's not going to be like sinister.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So I guess that's another thing I wanted to ask about is kind of the tone that you set. You have said that it's all very sarcastic, but it is kind of camp horror this year.
Yeah.
Which I personally love. Like that's one of my favorite genres. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the actual performers and the performances of the people who are guiding people into and through the club.
Yeah.
I guess how much in control are they? Like, is it?
Oh, not at all.
Okay. So they're kind of there to enjoy it.
Yeah,
as well.
It's very free form. I think I learned quite quickly that it's best to let go on the. I call them like the Kunstclub residents on the Kunstclub residents and let them find their own groove. Like the first year we did it. We had this idea that everyone was going to speak in a German accent, and that already made it so much harder for some people who didn't nail a German accent. Do you know what I mean? But I like the versatility within the Kunstclub residences that you might get someone who's like super deadpan and really like deadpan humor, and then someone who's like extremely flamboyant. And so you and your friend have completely different experiences, even though you just went through the same thing. I mean, like, even I miss standing behind the desk just watching for a little bit. The different scenarios, like it went from, making someone do an interpretive dance to pretending that people had firearms on them and arresting them and stuff. Like it can go in any spectrum kind of depending on what that person is feeling. And I like that freedom that you never, it's like a mixed.
Well, yeah, I can imagine that the people attending also are like, their experience is a truly unique experience.
It also means when you go out to the toilet and come back in, you're going to have a different experience every time. Otherwise, if it was like the same line coming in, it would like lose its jazz pretty quickly.
I mean, so what is involved in a rehearsal? Is it just kind of a sit-down meeting, say, these are the themes, this is the kind of thing that we're going for?
I do a promo video every year that introduces the festival to the theme. And as part of that, I kind of need to get everyone fitted with the costumes. And the process of filming that promo video, that generally people get it from there.
Yeah.
Because filming it is also filming the attitude. And then obviously on the weekend of the festival, I have a walkthrough in the Kunstclub the morning before and make sure everyone's across like the actual proper logistics of it. Yeah. But I generally try and leave it up to them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's,
it just means really you have to source people well.
I guess, yeah. I guess that's, the problem with anything is finding
a good exactly. Cast, yeah. It's like, that's what really is the kick of the casting.
So obviously this is a bit of a passion project for you.
Yeah, massively.
And you're keen to keep doing it year on.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, so is Kunst going to like keep on evolving, keep on changing, or do you think you're going to find something like a level or a size that suits the Kunst attitude and vibe?
Definitely this. I don't think in Yonder particularly, the Kunstclub will evolve much further than where it is now, because last year with the size we were and the amount of rooms and spaces we had and the kind of maze effect, this year going into it's the first year where I didn't want to add another room on.
Okay, yeah.
And I was just kind of like, no, that actually worked perfectly. I think we'll just leave it there. In terms of size and scale, I think it's at like the sweet spot right now where it's still intimate but still has that kind of maze like quality where there's different spaces to explore.
You can still kind of get caught in one spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So thank you for joining us. Like, you are my first interview.
Oh,
so
nice.
I hope it hasn't been too scary and I haven't foiled it too much.
No, not at all.
So good luck with the setup and,
thank you.
Good luck with you. I look forward to attending at least once. I am a night owl, but I'm not a club person, so we'll see how it goes.
There's something for everybody.
Absolutely. I look forward to confessing my personal sins.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while. So if people want to find out more about Kunst or you personally, where would you like to send them?
Kunstclub has a Facebook and an Instagram. It's just simply Kunstclub. So Kunst is art in German, just for people who don't know. That was meant to be like an homage, but not many people get it. Anyway, and club is spelled with a K, so Kunstclub. And I'm Nina Everson.
Excellent. Well, we'll attempt to put all those links in the show notes and in the episode notes as well. And yeah, so good luck with the festival, and
thank
I look
so
forward
much.
To coming to the Kunst Club.
Thanks.
Okay. See you soon. Bye. That's it for the Yonder Podcast this week. Join us in another fortnight where we'll be talking to more of the people of the Yonder Festival, and we'll continue doing that all year until the next festival arrives and we have even more people to talk to. Thank you to the Yonder Festival for helping us put this together, and we'll see you in a fortnight's time.
Objectively be bad?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we can't learn from it. I'm Alex Smith.
And I'm James Keogh.
And on our new podcast, My Songs Suck, we talk to writers, musicians, who share with us some of their earlier, less good content, and reflect on how far they've come.
If you want to get in on the fun, head to That's Not Canon Productions, or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher you use.
My Songs Suck, because everyone makes mistakes.
Just make sure you record them.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.